self sees this. Well, I'm not really going to get self. This, I mean, really, that would be kind of out there. To deceive
oneself. I mean, that's a foolish thing to do. And most of the time, nobody, I believe, knowingly goes in saying, "Boy, I'm going to really deceive myself today." But yet we do. We do in different ways. And one of the ways that someone deceives themselves is to merely hear the word but not do it. Brethren, one of the problems that happens in Christianity is that it is easy to fall into ruts. And things that can be a good thing become laws that then become formalistic things. I'll give you an example. Brethren, no doubt somewhere, sometime in the past, somebody had an altar call kind of thing, a mourner's bench kind of thing, altar call. And no doubt God used the thing. There's no doubt. But you know what has happened today? People have gotten so used to a certain way that what happens is, brethren, I'm telling you, people will go and they will just... in many churches, brethren, there's an altar call and people are always there. But I believe what happens is they go and they may pray about a matter before the Lord and they get up thinking, "I've done something." But brethren, if you don't take and put into practice what you've heard, you just deceived yourself. Brother, it's one thing to come and receive the Lord. He's dealing with you, and you. I understand that kind of thing. I understand that. I'm not saying you can't come and pray about a kind of thing. But I see in the Bible, Christ, Peter, Paul, others would preach, and the people were left with like, "Okay, what will we do about this thing? Got to do something about it." Rather than going somewhere and just praying about something, rather than having an altar and they come and they do something, but yet don't do anything with it. You deceive yourself. And I think we have a setup today, almost set up to help us deceive ourselves in thinking, "Well, I went down to the altar. Well, great, but what did you hear? What did you hear? Well, this, and I need to do better about it." Okay, great. It's fine to pray about it. But how about now purposing that with God's help, you're going to do something about it? Again, we see in the Bible when the Lord would preach and Paul would preach and others, man, they'd be, rather than a kind of a time that anybody came to an altar, they either did business right there or left and got somewhere or in their heart a work was done and it carried through. And that's what we see. And brethren, I think we need to be careful that we don't ever fool ourselves thinking, "Well, okay, I went and I prayed." Great, but what are you going to do about it? What actions are you going to take? But most of the time, when I hear something that spoke to my heart, I just realize, "Thank you, Lord, I need to do this. I need to put this into practice. I need to do this." More so than just going down to go pray about something, I need to put the thing into practice. I'm not saying you can't do that. While this morning I felt upon my heart, we should have a season of just meditating on what was done. I felt like possibly God was dealing with someone just to give an opportunity there. And sure, we'll have times like that. But brethren, not to where I've heard some people say, "You know, every service there should be an invitation." Whoa. You do know that church is for saved people. Church is mainly for saved people. It's fine if God deals with somebody and they get saved, of course, in church. Lord, it's probably saved anywhere, of course. That's fine. But church is mainly for saved people to get the help they need so they can go out there and in their life and in their words be a testimony to others that God will use and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, always remember that kind of thing. But what I'm saying is, brethren, we can deceive ourselves, okay? And so how do you deceive yourself? When you hear but won't obey. Also, when you don't want to know the truth about yourself or won't do anything about it. And that can happen in salvation. It can happen in service. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. But you see it in your life. You know, the people that... they will listen. They'll nod their head. They'll say they agree and they see it. And will not do one thing. And they seem to feel like that because I've talked about it, You have people like that. Brother, look here. There will be individuals that will talk to you, counsel with you, or talk to you, and they're not going to do anything. But see, since they got it off their chest, they feel better. They feel like they've done something. In actuality, they have done nothing. They've done nothing. It could be that it's the start of doing something. If they get things now in the right perspective, and now they know what they need to do. But unless they go out and do something, they just set themselves up for deception. Brethren, there comes a time that sometimes when people are talking to you, you have to say, look, here are your options. Here are possibly what will happen if you take these options. You need to find out what you need to do. You need to do something. Let me tell you something, brethren. If someone presents a situation to you, you go over the options, you go over the potential consequences, and then they still want to continue to go over and say what's already been said 30 minutes ago, that's not a person wanting help. That's a person wanting to make themselves feel like that they're doing something or just want to constantly unload. It's not somebody looking for answers. And you can't do anything. Once you have laid out, okay, you can do one of three things here. Here seems to be your options. And if you take this one, there's going to be consequences. If you take this one, the consequences, here they are. You need to pray about it, find out what you need to do. I'll be praying for you. Have a nice day. Well, you know, but, and you know what usually happens? They go over the same thing. They go over the same thing that's been said. There's nothing new added to the equation. That person is not wanting help. They're wanting to vent. You can't do something like that. You can't. Because they're not wanting help. Because it's just a continual, constant, recycled thing. They're just wanting, they're either wanting to get you to either come over to their side or just to vent or just to unload something, but they're not wanting help. And they're deceiving themselves. Brethren, we deceive ourselves when we don't know the truth about ourselves or when we won't do anything about it. Again, in salvation or in service or anything. Go to Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Go to John 6. John 6. John 6. I remember one time a place that I preached at. And I mean, there was an individual there that was just shacking up with a woman. And the woman was there with him. And the woman would be tore up and crying. And it wasn't just me. I mean, the Lord hammered this situation evidently for one. And did you know something? Lord God, I believe, can make it no plainer. And that joker would just sit there and smile and tell you at the end of the service, blessing, it's like, you know what? Probably the best thing could have done is say, sir, you're fooling yourself and you're acting like a big fool. What is the matter with you? And he said, well, Brother Dawson, I don't know if that'd be a good thing. Well, nothing else seems to work with folks at times. Now, I'm telling you, the Lord goes and makes things plain, and you're going to sit there with a lopsided grin on your face and say, this is wonderful. God just cleaned your clock about a sin. You ain't going to do a slap thing about it. But everything, you know what? You're deceiving yourself because you're thinking, well, since I'll set myself under preaching and boom, 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 and take it, everything's okay. That's a fool. I'm serious. They'll sit yourself, and I guess they feel like, boom, boom, boom. I'll take the hammer blows. I'll take it. And you know what? Since I kind of like it and I'm willing to put up with it, I'm okay. That's idiotic. That's idiotic. Do something. Do right. Do right. Because if you just hear and don't do, you are deceiving yourself. John 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So some think that just because they hear, they're okay. You got to act upon it. You got to do something with it. All right? In service, go to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come to thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Isn't that something? That's a group of people saying, man, come hear the word of God. You have got to come, come hear the word of the Lord. You got to come here. They're inviting people, getting people in, excited about it, and ain't going to do a slap thing. Nothing changes. Brother, nothing changes. That was in the book of Ezekiel. Look what he said. He said, they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Brethren, what good is it for someone to say 10 years, 20 years later in life, preacher, you were right. Well, you ain't telling me nothing I don't know. I knew that 20 years ago. Whoa, I don't mean that arrogantly. You understand? Listen, what I'm saying is, if the word of God has been given to you and it's right because it's the word of God, and somebody comes back 20 later, preacher, you were right. Well, yes, you better believe it was, because it ain't me. It was the word of God. Not that you necessarily say that, but it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart for someone to even if they don't come and say it, they come to that place where they realize, I should have listened. I should have listened. I didn't know what I thought I know, and I should have listened, and I didn't. You were right. Yeah. It's not because I'm right, it's because the Word of God's right. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's your mom, your dad, if they're giving you the Word of God, right is right. Look here. Go back to James chapter 1. So you deceive yourself when you hear but won't obey. Look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, what he does is, look, when you look in a glass, you know, a mirror, a looking glass, and you see yourself. Okay, it shows you what you are. But if you're a hearer and not a doer, you're like somebody that looks in the mirror, sees what's there, but doesn't take any action and goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was. He didn't do anything. He didn't take any action. So listen, it's like somebody looking in a mirror, not liking what they see. So they go their way and try to put the image out of sight, out of mind. You understand? The mirror shows you, but it won't correct you. You must take action. See, listen. If we only hear but don't do, it's like looking in a mirror. Ugh, I don't like that. So you go your way and try to put that out of your mind. Brethren, it's just like when somebody, if you're reading your Bible, listening to the preaching or teaching, and God is showing you where you're at, and you're faced with it. Are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, Lord, it's true. That's a true picture. Help me. Help me. Or are you going to just go and say, I don't hear that. I'm going to face that. I'm going to face that. Or find a different mirror that maybe a little thicker at the bottom or thicker in the middle, and it'll present a different view of you. Brethren, it is what it is. And we are what we are, and the Bible's a mirror that shows us what we are. You know, it's been said that a photograph freezes you in an instant of time. A photo is only true for one moment. The mirror always gives you the true picture. A mirror grows as you grow. It changes as you change. It keeps up. You know something? A photo freezes you in a moment of time. That was you at that millisecond. But that might not be you tomorrow. And that might not be you a month from now. And it might not be you a year from now. As you grow, the mirror grows. You understand? If you grow in weight, the mirror is going to grow in weight. I mean, think about that. Don't get mad at the mirror. Don't get mad at the mirror. If your face takes on an appearance as you get older that you don't like, don't get mad at the mirror. The mirror grows as you grow. It changes as you change. It presents the true picture. And we might not like it. We might not like it, but there it is. You know, a mirror is of no use unless you use it and act on it. Mirror is no use. But the photograph is not going to cut it. Our photos are fine, but that's an instant, a moment of time. For good or bad, you're not always like that. But that mirror, man, that mirror, it's always up to date. That mirror is always up to date. And you know, the Bible is like that. That Bible always reveals us as we are in truth right now. And you know what? If we're different tomorrow, it's going to show us we're different. And if we're different for good or bad or whatever a year from now, it's going to show us. That Bible is a mirror. And when we hear the Word of God brought forth, and we get a picture of us, might not like what we see. Well, what are we going to do about it? What do you see? What are you going to do about it? The Bible says, listen, if all you do is hear and won't heed, you know, won't do something, you're deceiving yourself. And you're like someone that looks in the mirror, sees what it is, but goes on their way and forgets about it. And oftentimes it's a willful forgetfulness because I don't want to see that. I don't want to think about that. I don't like what I saw. I don't want to face that. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay, so first we've got to define what is the perfect law of liberty. What is that? Well, it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Hey, it didn't say license. Not license to sin. There's liberty. Liberty meaning liberty to fear and serve and love God as you ought. Take your Bible, go to Romans 8. Romans 8. And also liberty from the law. We're not bound by the law anymore. Those ceremonial observances, those things, we're not bound. We're free in Christ, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Brethren, we are the perfect law of liberty is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that the born-again believers have. So look at James 1:25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Not just looking and then going his way and forgetting, but looking and continuing therein. Not just hearing and not doing. Not just looking in the mirror and going on your way and forget my manner, but looking and continueth in that perfect law of liberty. Well, before I get to that, though, what it says, the perfect law of liberty, but what is the work? It says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the perfect law of liberty, what is the work to continue in? It's the perfect law of liberty wrought for us in and by Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, very quick. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making a mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Notice in James 1:25, it says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. A doer of the work. This man should be blessed in his deed. As far as salvation, what is that work? It's that working of his mighty power, that working that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So what is the doer of the work to do? Listen, he is to continue, not merely acknowledge it and give mental assent to it. There's to be some action, some commitment to it. The word continue in the dictionary means to remain in a state or place, to be permanent. A doer is one who performs what is required, one who observes, keeps, or obeys in practice. You see, listen, in this we see things that deal with salvation and service after salvation both. Because, listen, someone that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he'll be blessed in, that one will be blessed in his deed. Listen, that works with both salvation and service. Some folks look into the perfect law of liberty, that work of Christ, they see it, they notice it, they never do anything about it. All right? Isn't it interesting, as we're going to see in a minute, that the Bible speaks not just of believing the gospel, but obeying the gospel. Obeying the gospel. There's something you're to do in the sense of you're to receive it. You're to act upon it. You're not merely to be, but what have you done with it? What will you do with it? Yes, I believe Christ died for my sins. I believe he's the Savior of the world. Well, great. What will you do about it? Will you by faith turn from you? Make a step to turn from you and turn to God and say, Lord, I don't just believe the facts about it. I accept that you did it for me. I make the application to myself. There's this aspect of doing something with it. Take your Bible, go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10. You know, the Bible speaks about those who believe in vain. They believe, but it's in vain. No change, no effect, nothing. Nothing ever takes place. Brethren, constantly filled with people like that. Brethren, you can ask people questions and they will answer in the affirmative. You can ask them, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that? Well, they're going to tell you yes. For the most part, people tell you yes to that stuff. And you know what? You can pronounce them saved or pronounce them whatever. But brethren, they've got to make a choice to step out and act on that and do something with it. They've got to respond. They've got to respond. They've got to receive. They've got to call. They've got, there's something they've got to make a response to that. Look here, when you got married, you just didn't kind of like, I mean, I'm serious. You just kind of like, yeah. You had to do something. The commitment you made had to be something that you had to give some kind of vocal assent, action, to the point of where you said, I do, I take, I will, ring over. You did something to show that where your heart was at and the commitment of that heart. Look, Romans chapter 10, look at verse 16. Romans 10, verse 16. But they have not all believe the gospel? No, this word says obey the gospel. So isn't it interesting? The Bible speaks not just of believing, though it does say that, of course, but it also says obeying the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Can go to 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. The personal top of top floor of a burning building. Maybe not top floor, maybe fourth floor, fifth floor. And the firemen have an apparatus below to receive them if they'll jump. They just jump, jump. This is set up. It'll catch you. It'll be all right. Just jump. And they hesitate. But just jump. Just jump. Look at it. It's saying, don't you trust us? I trust you. I believe you. Jump! They don't trust. They do not. Mentally they do, but not enough to make that commitment. And if you think I'm just pulling one out of my hat, in Puerto Rico, there was a hotel that caught on fire. And it was on the third or fourth, I can't remember what floor it was. Maybe it was third or maybe second, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't super high up, but there was a couple there. And the hotel was on fire. So the man busted through the hotel window and went down to the floor below. And he told the girl, they weren't married, but he told his girlfriend, he said, jump. He goes, I'll catch you. I'll break your fall. Jump. And he stood there, right? And she hesitated. And he watched in front of his eyes. She exploded in a fireball. She was gone. She had a chance. Think about that. Someone went before her and made a way. Was there to receive her, break her fall. She had to trust. She had to step out. She had to have faith enough that he would catch her or break her fall at least. He was willing to do this. She hesitated. If you had a time to interview her and say, Do you not love this man? Do you not trust this man? Oh, I believe it. Do you not believe that he cannot? I'm sure she would have given assent to all of it. It's just taking that step. The flames were on the way, but she was more afraid of stepping out and trusting someone who loved her enough to go ahead and go before her than she was more afraid of what that step would take than of the flames. And it was too late. They called her. And I mean, he said she just exploded in a fireball in front of him. She was gone. And brother, how many with salvation are like that? They will tell you they believe the facts about Jesus, but they won't take that act of faith of going to him, actively receiving him, calling upon him, responding to him. And it comes a point, they're too late. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. In flaming fire. Well, I didn't know that verse was coming up next in my notes, but it's interesting. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that what? Obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And obedience. God deals with you. God reaches out to you. God says, come to me. Brethren, you see, it's not just a matter of like, well, Lord, thanks, but no thanks. No, it's a matter of, are you going to obey? Yes, it's a matter of believing, but it's also a matter of obeying. The Lord says, you want to be saved? Do what I tell you to do. Receive my Son. Believe on Him. Accept Him. It's a response to the gospel message. Go to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Obey. Look at that. Real quick, go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What's that blessing? Because in James, it spoke, says that James 1, 25 says to us, let me get back over there myself real quick. James 1, verse 25 says, but whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, that's purchased for us by Jesus Christ, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What is that work? That finished work wrought for us in Jesus Christ. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If that deed, if we look at that deed as being receiving of Christ, obeying the gospel, what's the blessing? What's Galatians 3:14 say? That the blessing of Abraham might come on who? The Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ. What is that blessing? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, it's a matter. Listen, that blessing, that deed that's blessed is you and I responding to the gospel, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and that obedience, that we in that deed of obedience, if you will, what we get blessed with is the Spirit of God, the new birth. We become new creatures in Jesus Christ. Now, let me say that also, these same principles apply in service after we're saved. The blessing is in doing, not merely hearing. Brethren, many hear, few do. The blessing is in the deed, not merely the heed. Take your Bible, go to Mark 6. Mark 6. Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. The damsel gave it to her mother. Listen, Herod heard. He even did a few things. But he didn't continue. Brethren, listen. The word continue again means to remain in a state or place to be permanent. Brethren, if we will respond in truth to the Lord, to the work that He has done, He will then do a work in our life that is permanent. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The problem is that some folks look into this and they're not willing to make that commitment to Jesus Christ, but what they do is they'll do like Herod. they'll pay some outward respect to Christianity. They will even change a few things, but it's still all within their power and their might, and God still hadn't got their heart. Do you understand me? That's Herod. Listen, Herod, he realized John's a holy man of God. And he observed him. He listened to him. He even did some things. But Herod's still hanging on to what Herod wants. And it came crunch time to where, Herod, you got to make your mind up. And so he made his mind up. Herod, at that point, Herod had the opportunity to commit to God. To commit to God and say, I'll not murder that man. That man's preaching the truth. That man's right. And I won't do it. I may look like a fool. Men may mock me. I may lose my position. My wife may leave me. I got her wrong anyway. And so I, no matter. No, God, it's come to this point. God, I'm committing to you. But he wouldn't. And you know, Herod, that's done now. There's something happens there. Because you know what? Watch what happens with Herod after that. When the Lord Jesus gets in front of him, Lord won't even talk to him. Lord won't even talk to him. And Herod now just wants to see tricks done. Jesus won't even talk to him. Jesus talks more to Pilate than he did with Herod. Herod fixed himself. I believe that was crunch time for Herod. Herod had come along. Herod knew. Now it's up. What you going to do, Herod? What you going to do? And he made his choice. And you know what? I believe you see an example of a man whose conscience is seared with a hot iron. That thing fixed him up. Serious matter. Look here, brethren. Herod heard, did, but he didn't continue. Go to John 8. Go to John 8. Brethren, many, I'm afraid, are like that. You know, when you contemplate on it, think on it a little bit, and you realize what a great disservice has been done to men today, when you really do. Once again, brethren, there's Jesus Christ standing in front of him. Why don't he deal with Herod? Why don't he try to? Mm-mm. No, sir. Herod's made his. You'll see, Lord, even, like I said, he talks a little bit more to Pilate than he does there with Herod. Brethren, just like we were talking about at the 5 o'clock concerning how the Lord's dealing with that rich young ruler there. It's always been about that matter of the heart. And brethren, you know, if God has started a work in someone, God's going to continue it. The Lord's going to continue that thing. He's going to continue to work that thing out. But brethren, if we do a work in someone's life, it's not going to last. Y'all have heard me use the illustration. Sam Jones one time was somewhere, and some drunk man, Sam Jones was talking to some preachers, and this drunk man came up and said, "It's Sam Jones! This is a great preacher, Sam Jones! I want the Sams! Sam, I want yours! Sam, I want your converts!" And Sam Jones kind of tucked his head and said, "Yeah, I reckon so. I guess you're some of my bumbling work." And he's like, "Yeah, I guess you're one of mine. You're not one of God's. I guess you're one of mine, all right. You're not one of God's." And brother, let me tell you something. I'm not saying that someone can't get in sin and get back. You understand that. I understand. We know the New Testament shows that. People can get away from God, but if they're saved, they're going to be chasing it. But brethren, so often I'm afraid that what happens is, if someone's a work of us, if you play the Holy Ghost, you better get ready to play it all the way through. You have to keep them right. You have to constantly be in there, and you can't do that. You can't be in every person's life. You can't do it. But if you play Holy Ghost in their salvation, you've got to continue to play Holy Ghost. You've got to keep them right, and you've got to make excuses for them. And you've got to all kind of ways to get them to do right. But y'all, if they're a work of God, if they're a work of God, God's going to work in their life to keep them as they ought to be. If the Lord starts a work, he'll finish that thing up. Look here, John 8, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now this is an interesting statement, and I want you to understand something. Christ made this statement prior to the cross. Okay? So they didn't yet know the truth fully. and they weren't free yet. They believed on him. But brethren, this was not the kind of belief like we believe after the cross. They weren't believing in a finished work accomplished on the cross. Christ hadn't died yet. They were believing on him as being the Messiah, as being. And so Jesus said, look, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, when would that happen? When would they know the truth and be set free? After the cross. If they'll keep going and stick in there, after the cross, they'll be able to be set free by the new birth. They'll know the truth. They'll have the spirit of truth within them. But look, even though they believed on him, look where their heart's at. Look at verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So now, even though they believed, brethren, their belief was more mental. Their belief was more mental assent than a heart commitment. Because as soon as Jesus says, well, he implies you're not free. We've never been in bondage to any man. Which on the face of it is the most ridiculous statement in the world. Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, Greeks, Romans. I mean, name them, guys. You've been conquered by everybody. You're not even. They weren't even free then. They were under Roman occupation. But brethren, that's how far people go in their pride about their self. Every group always feels like, I am a great people. Pooey! Great people? If there's any great people, it was the Jews. And God said, you're stiff-necked. God said, I didn't do this for you because you are such a wonderful people. You're stiff-necked and you're stubborn. But I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm going to keep it. Man, there's never been a clean people to the Jews. But you know what, brother? We're always all caught up in what a great people I come from. Oh, come on, friend. Shake your family tree, son. The nuts will fall out. Just give a good shake on the old family tree. And, buddy, I mean there's some royal nuts will fall out of that place, that tree, all over the place. And that's just the truth. That's just for all of us. Paul said, you know what Paul gloried in? Hey, if somebody had something to glory in, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, Pharisee of the Pharisees, studied under Gamaliel. He said, I count it dung. He said, don't profit me nothing. Christ. He said, I glory in Christ. Man, if we want to glory, glory in Christ. Look at this. So, verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye should be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house ever. But the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hey, look here. If you went to somebody's house and one of the servants said, hey, I'll give you a key to one of the rooms. You can have some of the food here. You serious? Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I got to run to this place. You know what? Somebody's going to run you out and they're going to get in trouble because they don't have the right to it. They're a servant. But a son has the right to it. A son has a right to it. The servant abideth not in the house forever. But they're a servant. They stay in the servant's quarters usually, or they go home to their... But the son abides there. And he has the right. He has the right to grant things. Jesus said, if the son shall make you free. You know what? Jesus Christ set me free. He had the right and authority to. And he sets you free, you're free indeed. He has the right and authority to. All right, look here. Brethren, if you want to be blessed in your deed, make sure it is sanctified by the Spirit and Word and stay with it. Look what it says. Go back to James 1 again. Now, we looked at it concerning salvation. I'm just looking at it now as far as service. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. You know how you get blessed in something? By not merely knowing about it, but doing it and sticking with it. You know what they said? You want to retain something? Do it. You want to retain something? Do it. I've heard men who specialize about like in memorization. They say one of the best ways to memorize something like Scripture, write it down. Some tell you to write the Scriptures down like five times on something. You know, write it down, write it out. Say it out loud. In other words, don't just think it here. Say it out loud. Speak it. Write it down. Brethren, you know how you retain something very often? You do it. If you see something demonstrated, you're not really going to get it until you hands-on do it. Let's suppose there's a knot you want to learn how to tie, and you watch somebody do it. Okay, you get the gist of it, kind of, but you get it when you do it. You'll get it when you do it. And then if you keep doing it, you're going to imprint that thing upon you. In fact, many people learn better by doing. I guarantee you, there's some of you in this room, and you have found out in your life, you're just like, I do better when I do. When I have hands-on, I get it. It clicks with me when I'm able to do it. When I'm able to, that really clicks with me. All right? Listen, you want to be blessed in your deed? Don't just know what you ought to do. Do it and stick with it. Look here. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Y'all have heard me, haven't you? Y'all have heard me speak about, you know, got a hoe to the end of the road. Y'all have heard me speak before about coming up, you know, working in the field and you can't see the end of the road. The other day, me and Sarah, y'all seen that fella right down the road here? Usually he's riding his thumb somewhere. Y'all seen him, that fella right in here, you know, he's riding. So we went and we picked him up the other day. Well, we picked him up a couple times. The other day, picked him up and he got in the car, you know, we took him down the store, I got to talk to him about where he's from. He says he's from down in Charleston. He said, but he spent some time in North Carolina. And he said, yeah, worked on in tobacco. I said, oh, my. I said, you did some work then there. He goes, yeah, that's the truth. And he said, man, them roads, you couldn't see the end. And I thought, yeah, that's it. That's it. See, that's the whole thing. And he was talking about how hard it was, right? And it's sticky and gummy. But the thing was, what he brought up, them roads that you can't see the end of. And you got to keep holding it. And you can't play. And you can't make a game of it. And you better not whine and complain. Somebody's going to chew you out. Somebody's going to chew you out good. And you just got to be like, here we are. It's one of the great lessons of life. And in service to the Lord. Brethren, sometimes serving the Lord is not fun. Sometimes, brethren, it gets the heat's beaten down. Sometimes there's nobody around you even to talk to. What you got to do is you got to stay in that row. Stay in that row. Either hoeing or getting them leaves and just staying with it. Look here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. You want to be blessed in the deed? Don't stop. Don't stop. Get in and keep going. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, brethren, unmovable. Stay in that row. Keep at it. Keep at it. You know, when you're out there getting up hay or hoeing a row or in that row doing something, let me tell you something. You might think you was forgot about, but you've not been forgot about. And sooner or later, somebody would come by with either some water. I remember my Aunt Lottie would bring out that big old jug of water. She'd keep it in a big old Tropicana orange juice thing and a condensation beam on that thing. And she'd have some of them old aluminum cups, right? And a condensation beam on that side of that. And it just was so good. So good. Or you out there and don't worry, somebody's coming by with either a Coke, a Pepsi, or a pack of Nabs. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't been forgot about. They're going to come by with something. What happens is, you what makes it harder? Have you ever been doing some work and you're so like, where is the break? Where's somebody with some water? Where's somebody with something to drink? Where's somebody with a pack of Nabs? The more you concentrate on that, the harder it gets. And when you get your mind off of it and just keep your work, before you know it, there somebody is. And it makes it so sweet and good. And at the end of the day, you get paid or you get to eat a regular meal. Brethren, along the way, God's going to give us what we need to keep going. But if you start concentrating on where's the help at, where's the comfort at, it's gonna make that row awful harder. It's gonna make that time seem awful longer. Just stay with it. And haven't you ever noticed sometimes when you least been expecting it, God just up and flat blesses you and helps you? Hadn't you noticed that when you least expected it, the Lord comes through and picks you up and helps you? But when you get to concentrating on where's the help at, God, I need something from you, it's gonna make up time pass slower. Just stay in the row. Stay steady with it. He sees the whole thing and he knows exactly what you need. He won't let you fall out. We may make ourselves fall out, but He won't let us fall out. Just the time's going to pass slower if you concentrate on, where's something to drink? Where's something to eat? Man, ain't it break time yet? It's going to make it pass awful slower. You ever been at work waiting on the roach coach to come? You're really hungry. You're like, man, I got something to eat. I want something to eat. I want something to drink. And you're like, well, come on. It's always here. The more you look at that watch, the longer it gets. If you just stay with it, it'll be there. It's kind of like that old thing. What do you say it? I don't know how it goes, but something like a watch pot never boils. Which ain't true, you know. It's not like some mystic supernatural thing. As long as I watch it, it won't boil. It's just that what happens is you're so concentrating on that, time goes so slow. Get your mind off of it. Next thing you know, have you ever noticed your mind's off? Whoa, that thing's boiling in there. Look at that. I'm just telling you, brethren, it's a principle. And if you concentrate on how you wished you could get a break a minute, or you could wish you could get some succor from God, or you wished you could get, it's going to make the time go awful slow and the task seem awful harder. Just stay with it. God's got an eye on the whole thing. He's a good overseer, you know. And when you need it, He'll supply it. And if you'll stay faithful, it'll be worth it at the end of the road, at the end of the day. Look here, Galatians 6, and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap, if we faint not. And finally, brethren, just a thing or two more and I'm just about done. I want you to notice that in the book of James, James takes it as a given that good works and deeds will follow those professing salvation. It's to be expected. Go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. See, continued, they'd have stayed with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. If God's done a work, He'll continue, they'll continue in it. And the last thing I want to point out to you is, James 1:25, that perfect law of liberty. That perfect law of liberty is not freedom to sin. Not freedom to live any way you want. But freedom from sin and able to live for God. And with that in mind, I'm closing in Romans 6. Verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also the likeness of the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So brethren, if we have been accounted buried with Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being born again, we're dead to sin. Sin's lost its power over us. It's still there because we still have flesh, but it don't have the same hold. And the law of liberty that we have is liberty to now live a holy, godly life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Father, help us, dear God, to assimilate what we've looked at tonight. Help us to chew on this. Lord, help us to lay it in our hearts. Help us to understand it. Father, bring it up to us as we need it. Help us, Lord, to glean more from it. And Father, help us to not deceive ourselves. Help us to never be, Lord, forgetful hearers, but doers, Lord, lest we deceive our own selves. And Father, we thank You. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.